Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for joining me today, for hanging around. 800-531-3815. And my website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget, subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And this week's feature article is all about this week, this Thanksgiving week. And I'm glad John Deeney decided to join us and spend a little time with us on this week, share some of his valuable information. John is the president of Management Performance Network, and he's our good friend. John Deeney, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jim. Glad to have you back again. Thanks
good
for
to have you. Good to have you back on. Thanks for spending some time with us on the holiday week. John, one of the things we've been talking about, this is the second maybe in a series of shows on bringing in professionals into a personal services business. And that's the world that you live in, and it's the world that I used to live in as a business consultant. So, and it's hiring an employee is one thing, but bringing in a person on your level, a professional who can execute and do the things you do as a consultant or as a professional, you know, whether it be a CPA or a law firm or even a doctor's office, an architect, those kinds of things, or as a consultant. It's a little different from just hiring an employee, isn't it?
Oh, it's hugely different. You know, what we're talking about is that awful catch-22 in the personal services business. You're good enough at what you do that you have more business than you can handle.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you handle more business and still have it done as well as you do it? So it's a personal decision, and it's a decision that impacts every one of your clients.
It's something that I went through, and I have to be honest with you, I wasn't successful. And I made a couple of attempts to bring in, when I was a full-time consultant, I made a couple of attempts to bring in a person to share the professional load with, and I wasn't successful. And I'm taking the blame for that, but the responsibility. But I did it enough to know that it's a challenging assignment, isn't it?
It is, and you have to know in advance what you're looking for. You know, the old saying is luck is opportunity meeting preparation.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know well in advance what a good partner would look like to you, then you're going to be stuck in just going along till you find someone that you think would work and trying to make it fit around them. And that's by far the less appealing of the two approaches.
Now, you use the word partner. Is that, did you do that intentionally?
I did, and it's just because where I've been thinking of my personal business right now. But a partner is anyone that you're going to share the ups and downs with. Even as the owner of the company, you may soften it for them a bit. You may give them a base or a guarantee. But a partner is anyone whose compensation and lifestyle is dependent on their performance with your clients.
Mm-hmm. Does that have to mean that they own part of the business, or can
Not
they just own part of, they don't have to really own equity to be a partner, do they?
No, we have people in our organization, and there are others I know in CPA firms and in law firms who carry the title of principal, and that's kind of a code word for not owning any stock, but being a sharer in the profits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in our firm, as a matter of fact, we've made the decision to change everyone's title to principal.
Mm-hmm.
As a negotiating thing, that's handy, because if I'm in with a client and I want to make a decision, I say, well, you know, I can decide that. I'm a principal in this firm. Mm-hmm. If I don't want to decide it, I say, well, gee, you know, I can't decide that. I'm only a principal in this firm.
It's a handy tool, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's like a Swiss Army knife, isn't it?
Right. you can open up whichever side you need.
That's
at
right.
The moment.
and then now there are people out there saying those darn consultants.
Right. Duplicitive fellows.
That's right. But the thing about bringing in a person to share in this, you know, that's one of the biggest challenges of any personal services business is being able to bring somebody in who can have their own client base, perhaps, who can maybe take some of your clients if you started the company. And I want to talk about this some more when we come back with our good friend John Deeney, because there are millions more people out there doing what we're talking about right now than there were 10 years ago. And it's a very important topic. 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you, coming up in the hour straight ahead, Carrie Jury is going to be with us, and he is with the Principal Financial Group, and we're going to talk about employee benefits, how to do a good job, some of the best practices that are out there, some of the new innovative ideas to make sure that you provide as much benefits, employee benefits for your folks. And then in the half hour after that, we're going to be visiting with a guy named Lance Cottrell, and we're going to talk about cybersecurity. That's coming up in the next hour. John Deeney is our guest. He is the president of Management Performance Network. He's part of the TAB Boards organization. John, tell us about TAB Boards.
TAB Boards are nationwide. We are in about 75 cities around the country, and there's about 140 of us, I believe, facilitating boards. We get groups of business owners together, 7 to 10 in a group, meet for 4 hours a month and act as each other's board of directors.
And they, go ahead.
They advise, they share, they support each other. No competitors, no customers, no vendors permitted in the same group. And over a period of time, they learn each other's businesses very well and lend about 200 years of management to the running of your company.
And a lot of moral support, too, huh?
Yeah, once in a while you need that. It can be lonely when you run your own company.
It sure can be. It doesn't have to be, though. We've proven that, haven't we, John?
Yeah.
But
talk to somebody on a radio show.
That's exactly right. Tell us about the websites, though.
Our national website is tabboards.com with two B's, T-A-B-B-O-A-R-D-S. And locally, if you want to see what we're doing here in San Antonio, Texas, it's tabsanantonio.com.
So go to either one of those sites, folks, and you can find out about a TAB board that might be in your area. And if there's not, you might be something you'd want to look into to become a TAB board facilitator like John. John, more and more every year, people are starting personal services businesses. I'm going to venture to say that I don't know if it's millions, but it's certainly... it's way, way in the hundreds of thousands. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. And unfortunately, or fortunately, there's two sides to that, Jim. Mm-hmm. You know, there tend to be low overhead. You can start a personal services business pretty effectively out of your bedroom with today's communication.
Very low technology. Capital. Very low capital required.
And so they tend to get further on the longevity curve than going out and starting a retail store or a manufacturing operation or an inventory-based company.
Let me back up just a minute, John. I said very low capital. That depends on your lifestyle, folks.
That's true. The outkill continues.
Yeah, if you're a member of the country club and you want to continue to be a member, either get real busy or you might want to change. Think about it, unless you've got a lot of capital to start the business with, But anyway, it's
and you can't go out and get investors. It's tough to go to friends and family and say, "Hey, will you invest in my third bedroom?"
Right. No, that's not going to happen either. But the thing is that as more and more people are becoming unemployed, and not only unemployed, John, but unemployed and not likely to go back to the job that they had. More and more people are saying, you know what? So they're saying something I said in the late 80s, and that's, you know what? I'm going to do this on my own. I've got some things to say. I've got some things I think I can contribute, and the marketplace is ready for this, isn't it?
It's ready. You know, you bring up something that's really important, though, Jim, is are you replacing your job or are you opening a business? And either of those is acceptable. I talked to another fellow the other day that says, I'm starting a company and I'm going to build a business. And I said, well, what are you going to build it to? And he said, well, I'm going to build it until I have enough clients to match the income I used to earn in my job. And then I'm going to hold it there.
Huh.
Well, okay, but you're not building a business.
That's right.
You're self-employed, but there's a difference. And that's all right. If the plan is, and I know guys that have been successful for 10, 15, 18 years working out of their bedroom. They make a very nice living. They're certainly compensated as well as any executive. And they love the flexibility of their lifestyle. And they are very successfully self-employed. But I differentiate that from building a business. A business is where other people are out generating revenue and you're reaping some of the benefit.
And that's where we are in this discussion is as far as bringing somebody else in. And that's the break point. I mean, that's the break point in your decision-making process about your business. Are you self-employed, or are you trying trying to build a business? And so what about the person you're looking for if you decide to grow this business, if you decide to be a business and not just be self-employed? What do you bring in somebody experienced? Do you bring in a trainee, John? How do you make that decision?
Depends on what you're looking for. That's why you want to plan it out in advance. If you bring in someone, the point you made just before the last break, Jim, about do they bring their own or do you provide what they do, that's one of the most telling factors. That's one of the most important things to consider. If you're overburdened, if you cannot keep up with the amount of business that's coming in the door, bringing somebody in that's just as busy as you isn't going to fix anything.
Mm-hmm.
If you are handling all you can in one area of a business but find yourself continually turning down clients and saying, well, I don't do this part of it. I don't do that other related service.
So if you can add a discipline.
Right. Add a discipline. Add a service area. If you are just swamped and you find yourself doing everything, as many of us do, your chief cook, your bottle washer, you're sending out the invoices, and you're cleaning up, and you're writing the reports, and making the charts, you may want to bring in somebody on a much lower level than you. Not an assistant.
Stand by, John. We've got to take a quick break. We're going to come right back to this point, right after these messages. Hintel, stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend John Deeney. John, give us your website again, please.
Tabboards.com for the national site, tabsanantonio.com for ours.
All right. By the way, is your publication 103 Tips for Better Hiring still available?
Yeah, you can find that through our site at Tab San Antonio.
Tab San Antonio. 103 Tips for Better Hiring, folks. It's a little booklet that I recommend to you if you'd like to do a better job of finding the right people, which is one of the things we're talking about right now. John, when you bring in we're talking about hiring a principal, as John says. I'd rather not call them partners because that's a little presumptuous. But I like the word principal or associate. I think that was one of the words that I used a long time ago. But the idea is you're bringing in somebody who can go out and can service a client, can take care of what they're doing, whether that be computer work, whether it be business consulting, or could be a lot of different things. There are a lot of different personal services businesses out there, different kinds. And so whether you bring in a trainee or not, I think it has as much to do with you, the hirer, as it does with the business model too, John, because some people are good at generating business and helping and growing the customers, the clients, but they're not that good at training people. So I think that's one of the things you should take into consideration.
And that's one of the most important factors. We can spend some time on that next time around. What traits do you look for in a partner that are going to best complement yours?
Mm-hmm.
If you're like most entrepreneurs, I know the last thing you want is somebody just like you. There are hunters and there are farmers, mm-hmm. and we're all a different mix of the two. And if you're 100% hunter, if you're out there generating new business all the time and have difficulty with the follow-through, for instance, and have difficulty with the details, and we're only talking about one type of person, but obviously if that's the type you are, and many people who are quickly successful in personal services businesses are just like that, then you don't want to put another one of those on.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to be generating a whole lot more new business that you can't service.
When you bring these people on, John, how do you know there are a lot of different ways to compensate these people, and I'm just thinking of most of these personal services businesses are not going to have extra cash laying around just, you know, to throw into a salary. So it's difficult to bring in a person to be a principal or a partner, as you say, and to know how to compensate them sometimes, isn't it?
It is. And you don't want to short yourself by just getting the cheapest person you can find. Too many people make that mistake. Well, he didn't really have the talent or she didn't really have the talent I was looking for, but I could afford him.
Mm-hmm.
That's death in a personal services mm-hmm. business. You can't do that to yourself. It's your reputation out there. Your brand, to pick up Karen's theme from the last half hour.
Mm-hmm.
And when that person goes out, it's with your company's name on it. So you have to make sure you find quality. And that may mean some sacrifice for you.
Right.
It may mean some sacrifice for them. Certainly it's easier in this day and age where we have a far greater population of downsized professionals who have terrific experience in companies and some financial wherewithal to stick it out until they establish themselves.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is they've got to, these people are, as principals, as partners, they've got to be self-sustaining pretty quickly, haven't they?
Yes. You need to draw a little graph for yourself, and one axis is time and the other axis is revenue generation. And you need to decide at what point they have to be self-sustaining and show it to them in advance.
Mm-hmm.
You need to sit down with them and say, look, by this point, I expect you will be generating this, or this effort isn't worth it to either of us.
Mm-hmm.
And give them that yardstick, give them that target so that they know what they're working for.
That's a very important
point. Otherwise, you wind up with resentment.
That's a very important point to get that established at the beginning, isn't it?
Absolutely. Otherwise, you wind up with resentment. I just mm-hmm. Counseled on a partnership situation last week where a partner was brought in and he took a draw, and he is now, for an extended period of time, a year and a half, been making excuses about why the sales cycle is slower than he anticipated
right.
it was. But he's still taking the draw.
Yeah. John Deeney, thank you for being here. Good job today.
Okay, thanks, Jim.
We'll see you next time. Have a good holiday. John Deeney, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.